I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
Your all-day resource for critical breaking news, traffic and weather, and conversation about Utah's most important stories. Listen on any smart speaker, the KSL News Radio app, and in your car at 102.7 FM. KSL FM Midvale, KSL Salt Lake City, KSL News Radio, Utah's all-day companion for news.
Good afternoon. This is the 5 o'clock report, 20 minutes of uninterrupted news, commercial free. I'm Maria Chalaos, and today for Jeff Kaplan, KSL's top story this half hour. A suspect is in custody after a police standoff in West Jordan earlier this afternoon. West Jordan police say it all started when the man started randomly firing his gun. KSL News Radio's Paul Nelson has details.
Jared Hansen lives next door to where the standoff happened on Decorah Way. He says his wife heard what she calls countless gunshots.
They told her to just get in the basement and stay away from windows.
West Jordan Police Lieutenant Richard Bell says the suspect kept firing even after the officers arrived, and some homes and some cars were hit.
Just using the sound of the gunfire, they were able to hone in on which home the gunfire was coming from.
Bell says they don't believe he even lives there. Plus, just up the block, police sectioned off a part of the road where a backpack and a spatter of blood were found, and they believe it's connected to the standoff. Paul Nelson, KSL News Radio.
We are learning this afternoon two Latter-day Saint missionaries serving in New Mexico died in a head-on car crash. Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints announced their deaths earlier this morning. The car accident claimed the lives of 20-year-old Tyson Haycock of Montana and 20-year-old Michael Davis of Corinne, Utah. New Mexico police are still investigating the crash. Governor Spencer Cox tweeted his condolences for the crash this afternoon. He said his son returned from his mission yesterday, and he is heartbroken that these families won't get to hold their sons the way he did his. KSL's top national stories this hour. Alabama Governor Kay Ivey had some choice words for people in her state who have not been vaccinated. Here she is speaking to reporters earlier today.
Let's be crystal clear about this issue, and media, I want you to start reporting the facts. The new cases in COVID are because of unvaccinated folks. Almost 100% of the new hospitalizations are with unvaccinated folks. And the deaths are certainly occurring with unvaccinated folks. These folks are choosing a horrible lifestyle of self-inflicted pain. Y'all, we've got to get folks to take the shot. The vaccine is the greatest weapon we have to fight COVID. There's no question about that. The data proves it. I've taken the shot back in December, both shots. And it's just the thing to do. So the unvaccinated is who we need to focus on. Y'all get them to start taking the shot. It's their job to take care of themselves and us as well. We can't do that for them. All we can do is everybody take the shot themselves. So encourage others to do likewise.
I guess one quick question to follow up on that. What would it take for you to implement a mask mandate?
I want folks to get vaccinated. That's the cure. That prevents everything. Why we want to mess around with just temporary stuff? We don't need to encourage people to just go halfway with curing this disease. Let's get it done. And we know what it takes to get it done. Let's get a shot in your arm. And so I've done it. It's safe. It's effective. It's the data proves that it works. It doesn't cost you anything. It saves lives.
Governor, and
that's... young to be vaccinated and are returning to school in a few weeks, are you recommending for them to wear masks in class?
That's left up to every school in the district to make that decision.
All
right, we've got time for one final question. Right?
Governor, you talk about, you know, the vaccine saving lives, but Alabama still is last in the country when it comes to vaccination rates. Besides, you know, this emotional plea you just gave us, what is it going to take to get people to get shots in arms?
I don't know. You tell me. Folks are supposed to have common sense. But it's time to start blaming the unvaccinated folks, not the regular folks.
In D.C., White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki was asked about Governor Ivey's blaming unvaccinated folks for the spike.
We understand her frustration, and we understand the frustration of leaders out there and public voices who are trying to say the right thing.
Now, the U.S. has seen a steady increase in cases since the 4th of July. Tennessee is trying to get its younger folks vaccinated. The Tennessean reports the state will resume advocating for vaccines after state Republicans pressured the health department into stopping all of its outreach to minors. Lawmakers even called for the firing of the state's top vaccine official for promoting a state law allowing minors to get medical care without their parents' permission. California has the highest vaccination rate in the nation, but some restaurants are closing in Los Angeles County because of the increasing COVID cases. Here's ABC's Alex Stone.
A few restaurants here in L.A. County are temporarily closing, they say, to keep customers and staff safe amid the surge in cases here in L.A. One saying it closed after a fully vaccinated staff member became infected. This man is in West Hollywood. He says it's worrisome once again.
Confusing to the mind on how to be, like, comfortable with things.
Masks are again mandatory in L.A. County anytime somebody is indoors in a public place. Alex Stone, ABC News, Los Angeles.
KSL News Time 5:05. First look. Traffic on the 5 o'clock report with Ricky Meese.
South Salt Lake PD calling out a crash at State Street at 3900 South. And then we also have other accidents on the Valley Freeways. To the left is an accident southbound on I-15 in Riverdale. It's going to be about 4400 South, but it is causing some backups in the area, even though it's out of traffic. Then in Utah County, a right lane still blocks southbound I-15 just after Pleasant Grove Boulevard, and that's causing some slowdowns as well. Ricky Meese in the KSL Traffic Center.
The 5 o'clock report is brought to you by Any Hour Services, Electrical, Plumbing, Heating, and Air, anyhourservices.com. KSL News Time 5:06. We're learning this afternoon that Park City's fire chief has passed away. Paul Hewitt was injured in a UTV accident in Eugene, Oregon, while vacationing with his family. The 58-year-old worked with the Salt Lake City Fire Department for 20 years before moving to Park City in 2011. The Park City Fire Department posted a statement on Facebook saying that he set an example of true leadership and touched so many with his genuine personality and compassion for others. Pittsburgh says gun violence is getting worse on the city's south side. Three men with gunshot wounds were found at different crime scenes throughout the area. One remains in critical condition. Phil Bruce lives nearby and says that while it's been better than it had been in 20 years ago, crime in the area has risen in recent months.
Ever since they lifted all the restrictions, it seems like the violence has just jumped, you know, considerably.
Police have taken four people into custody, including a 15-year-old who they say will be charged as an adult with at least two counts of attempted murder. Amid violent protests, the funeral for Haitian President Jovenel Moïse was held earlier today. Several Moïse supporters stood outside shouting justice for Jovenel and justice, justice as politicians arrived. When Haiti's national police chief arrived, people surrounded him, calling him an assassin. Protesters clashed with police outside the event and shots were fired into the air. There were no immediate reports of injuries and funeral guests were not put in any danger. The pioneer spirit and family traditions came together this morning for the Days of 47 parade downtown. KSL News Radio's Mary Richards has this report from the parade route.
Hundreds of thousands of people lined the parade route from South Temple to Liberty Park, excited to have it back this year, including Dana Barrett and Jim Joy.
It's just a fun holiday.
What's your favorite part of the parade?
The floats, and we like to just come spend time with the family.
Tradition,
yep.
What's the thing you like about the parade the most?
Getting the family together. We've got, I think, over 25 this year. Our top was 53.
Some floats were 2 years in the making after it was canceled last year because of the pandemic. The parade showcased marching bands, members of the military, veterans, fire departments, and police motor squads. Mary Richards, KSL News Radio.
KSL News Time 5:08. It's time now for Jeff Kaplan's Minute of News. It's brought to you by Any Hour Services, Electrical, Plumbing, Heating, and Air, anyhourservices.com.
The future finally arrived yesterday when Domino's announced it's going to start delivering pizza in driverless cars.
One, two, three, four, hey!
Pizza wasn't even a thing in this country till after World War II. Long before that, in the 1700s. The first pizza came out of an oven in Naples, Italy, smothered in oil and tomato. It'd be centuries before they'd top it with cheese. Or pineapple. On these shores, Italian immigrants first served pizza in 1895 in big cities, but it only bubbled across the country after World War II. When U.S. troops stationed in Italy got to enjoy real Neapolitan pizza. After that, its popularity exploded. And yesterday's announcement by Domino's could be one of the most important in pizza history. And here's how it works. You prepay on the app, and you check a box if you want driverless delivery. You can track your pizza's trip on GPS. And then a Nuro R2 autonomous car pulls into the driveway. This thing is a 4-foot-tall white push-me-pull-you. It's about 8 feet long, and you can barely tell which is the front and which is the back. And bad news, couch potatoes, you will have to go outside to get the pizza from the driverless car. When you ordered, they gave you a pin. You just enter it on the side of the car, and the door gently swings upward, revealing your hot, delicious pizza, hopefully without pineapples. And as the door gently closes, you can smile as you realize that you didn't have to tip a pizza guy.
Jeff Kaplan's Minute of News, only on KSL News Radio.
Traffic and weather together brought to you by Zions Bank, your business banking home. Looking much better on the 21st South Freeway going westbound between 5600 and 7200 West as the crash in Magna's in the final cleanup stages the rest of your Salt Lake County freeways. Unbelievable. Light traffic, good speeds, no other problems. We have a surface street crash in South Salt Lake, State Street at 3900 South. Dave?
We still have a problem in Utah County. This is going to be in Linden. Got an accident there that's slowing things down. It's on the right-hand side of the road, but you are going to be in a pretty good slowdown for a couple blocks there. Also seeing a little bit of southbound slowing right now coming down through Lehigh. Not a big delay there, though. Aubrey?
We do still have southbound I-15 crash in Riverdale. This is just right by the Ogden Airport, and it's off to the left-hand shoulder, but it's still causing a few delays between 31st Street and 4400 South. And also on I-84, if you're traveling northbound between Riverdale Road and I-15, it's a little bit slow there as well. We do have some northbound slowing as well still through Layton and going into Clearfield right now, and we have a surface street crash over by Cherry Hill on 89. It's heading northbound, but off to the right shoulder. Any Hour Services Electrical, Plumbing, Heating, and Air is ready to help and continues to take precautions to limit your exposure as Utah reopens. Google Any Hour Services or visit anyhourservices.com. I'm Aubrey Withrich in the KSL Traffic Center.
And here's Kevin Eubank with the hourly forecast on the 5 o'clock report, an hour-by-hour description as we head towards Saturday.
Thanks a lot, Marie. As we head through the 5 o'clock hour, partly cloudy skies, temperatures in the low 90s. We'll stay there for 6 and then upper 80s for 7 and 8, mid-80s for 9 and low 80s for 10. Partly cloudy skies overnight with an ultimate low of 74. With your hourly forecast on the 5 o'clock report, I'm Kevin Eubank.
Few fluffy clouds and 93 degrees in downtown Salt Lake City. KSL News Time is now 5:12. Some crafty cockatoos have mastered dumpster diving and they're teaching each other.
Proving they won't starve as long as they aren't snobbish about cuisine and there are plastic trash bins with folding lids. Cockatoos. One ornithologist in Australia saw one of the birds do it and contacted colleagues who confirm all of them seem to be learning it. The cockatoos are grabbing lids of garbage bins with their beaks, prying them open, then shuffling far enough along the bin's edge that the lid falls backward, opening a bird's paradise of an edible trash smorgasbord. Chuck Sievertson, ABC News.
Whoa, are they loud and annoying. Just when you thought Venice couldn't get any cooler, listen to what divers found.
Researchers say the discovery of an ancient Roman road and dock on the Venice Lagoon provides strong evidence there were permanent human settlements centuries before the city of canals was founded. Researchers used 3D sonar mapping to reveal what they believe is a system of roads used centuries before Venice is believed to have first been inhabited in 421 AD. This week, Venice narrowly missed being put on UNESCO's list of endangered places. That's after the government banned massive cruise ships from the fragile lagoon. Megan Williams, ABC News. Rome.
Now, if you wanted to go to Venice to see it, you'll see some hiccups if you need to get a passport. The wait can be 18 months or more right now. Here's ABC's Alex Stone.
Extreme delays in the processing of passport applications is now resulting in hundreds of people lining up during the day around LA's federal building looking for answers, like this woman who applied for a new passport months ago and is stuck, unable to leave the country.
So I missed my flight. I had to change my flight. So the system that I was trying to follow didn't work out, and I turned mine in to be renewed back in April.
The blame being put on limited staffing at the State Department because of COVID. Alex Stone, ABC News, Los Angeles.
One of the stories we are following on the 5 o'clock report, the Olympics are officially open, and two American athletes are off their teams because they tested positive for COVID. Today, we're now getting an idea of how many American athletes are and aren't vaccinated. KSL News Radio's Kara Hoffelmeyer is live now. And Kara, how many?
Maria, about 100 of the 613 U.S. athletes there are unvaccinated. 100 of the 613. The U.S. Olympic Committee's medical chief says 567 American athletes filled out health histories and about 83% replied they are vaccinated. The International Olympic Committee estimates 85% of the Olympic Village is vaccinated as well. Only two Americans have tested positive in Japan, beach volleyball player Taylor Crabb and Utah's Kara Aker. Tennis player Coco Gauff tested positive before getting to Japan, and there are 13 positive people among all the athletes actually in Tokyo right now. We don't know the vaccination status of any of those who have tested positive, Maria.
All right. Thank you, Kara. Trending right now, for the first time ever, NASA was able to map the interior of another planet. Scientists were able to use data from the Mars rover to confirm the planet's center is molten and determine the composition of its crust, mantle, and core. Now, Mars has a liquid core and one large tectonic plate where faults and fractures still form in the planet's crust because the planet is shrinking as it cools. Now, the crust is now believed to be about 12 to 23 miles deep, and it could have multiple sublayers. KSL News Time 5:15, the three things you need to know this hour. First,
families talk about the tradition of being together, lining the route of the Days of 47 parade in downtown Salt Lake City. I'm KSL News Radio's Mary Richards.
Second, the Park City Fire Chief has died after he was in a UTV accident while vacationing with his family in Oregon. Paul Hewitt served with the Salt Lake City Fire Department for 20 years before becoming the chief in Park City. Third hour biggest traffic trouble spot.
Heavy delays on southbound I-15. A little unusual. It's all due to a crash just after Pleasant Grove Boulevard. The crash is in Linden. It's blocking a right lane, and it's backing traffic to American Fork. Ricky Meese in the KSL Traffic Center.
Pop-up storms over southern Utah, but drier conditions here in the north. I'm Kevin Eubank.
93 degrees downtown. Time now for KSL's top national stories.
From ABC News, I'm Chuck Severson. Mask mandates, or at least recommendations, returning in more parts of the U.S. as this state's chief exec is echoing many leaders, both political and medical.
Governor Jay Inslee is looking at reinstating mask mandates.
We are considering what the next steps are. And unfortunately, we have an epidemic, a pandemic of non-vaccinated people.
99% of COVID hospitalizations in Washington state are among those who have not gotten the shot. New guidance, especially for schools, is expected in the next week or two. Jeff Pogula, ABC News, Seattle.
COVID cases have nearly tripled in the U.S. over the last 2 weeks, say health officials, driven by the explosion of the new Delta variant. California days ago recording 4,000 new COVID cases in one day, then 5,000, now about 8,000 a day. After he allegedly refused to get a COVID shot, Rick Dennison is out as a Minnesota Vikings assistant coach, says ABC News partner ESPN. The NFL says unvaccinated players could lose pay if they cause an outbreak that leads to their team forfeiting a game. Presidential Press Secretary Jen Psaki was asked about these policies.
I'm not going to make a sweeping private sector conclusion here. What I will say is the NFL policy is making clear how they're going to proceed with their season. That's their role to do.
There's talking amid a political tiff on this issue. ABC's Faith Abube in Washington.
Former U.S. Representative Virginia Republican Denver Riggleman spotted entering Speaker Nancy Pelosi's office Thursday amid a fight over which GOP members of the House should be allowed to join the committee investigating the deadly January 6 attack on the U.S. Capitol.
Just here to
see what's going on.
Riggleman also meeting with Liz Cheney. So far, she's the only Republican handpicked by Pelosi to sit on the select committee.
Firefighters have officially ended their search for bodies in the debris of the collapsed Surfside, Florida condo building. 97 deaths, one missing person yet to be identified. You're listening to ABC News.
And traffic and weather together every 10 minutes on the nines. And let's get the very latest on your drive. And here's Ricky Meese.
All of your Salt Lake County freeways looking good with light traffic and no delays or accidents. We do have a crash in South Salt Lake at State Street and 3900 South. Dave?
Well, that accident southbound on I-15 in Utah County is still causing problems. It's going to be just as you're coming in through Linden. And it is backing traffic up to American Forks, so be ready for those slowdowns. A little minor slowing southbound on I-15 and Lehigh as well. Not a big delay there, though. Aubrey?
Well, we do have a crash southbound in Riverdale right by the Ogden Airport. It's on the left-hand shoulder, and it doesn't seem to be causing many delays. Where I am seeing the delays is northbound I-15 through that same stretch between Sunset and going to about 31st Street in Ogden. Also northbound a little bit further south through Layton, you're going to see those slowdowns as well. And southbound through Kaysville, starting to see a touch of slowing as well. Don't let your hips, elbows, and ankles prevent you from enjoying golf, tennis, or pickleball. Leave joint pain behind with the Active Joint Institute. Get reliable relief without surgery. TheActiveJointInstitute.com. I'm Aubrey Withrich in the KSL Traffic Center.
And let's take a look at the 7-day forecast with Kevin Eubank.
Thanks a lot, Maria. Well, partly cloudy skies today along the Wasatch Front. We've got a few pop-up storms east of Provo and up along the Utah-Idaho border, but more widespread storms over southern Utah. As we head through the next 7 days, we're looking at drier conditions Saturday, Sunday, Monday. Temperatures back up near 100 degrees. We'll continue to see some smoke move in from the western wildfires, but then a return to thunderstorms by Tuesday, Wednesday next week as temperatures slide back into the 90s. From the KSL Weather Center, I'm Kevin Eubank.
93 degrees downtown. Traffic and weather is sponsored by Zions Bank, your business banking home. And it's time now for the KSL In-Depth. It's the Olympic opening ceremony today, and KSL TV's Alex Cabrero is live from Tokyo to tell us all about it. And Alex, I mean, this has got to feel a little surreal.
It certainly does feel surreal, Maria. It is 8:20 Saturday morning here in Tokyo. Opening ceremony for us anyway happened 12 hours ago, began at 8 o'clock Friday night here in Tokyo. I think it's going to run here in about, 10 minutes on KSL television.
Right.
But I think what viewers will notice right away, Maria, is that it was empty. No one in the stadium, a lot less athletes than what we're used to. A lot of somber moments there in the performance. Well, of course, because of COVID, that was part of the story. People will see that when they watch it tonight. Still a very beautiful event, but very different, Maria.
Right. It must be very different just to not have an audience to perform to. Tell us what we can expect to see. You mentioned that there were some somber moments, but yet it's still beautiful.
Yeah, still beautiful. And a bright spot maybe for Utah in these in this opening ceremony is Eddie Alvarez is one of two American flag bearers. Eddie Alvarez, he was a speed skater based there at the Utah Olympic Oval in Kearns in 2014. In the Sochi Olympics, he was a silver medalist. And he also played baseball at Salt Lake Community College. So he's a Bruin. He's one of us out there in Salt Lake. He's one of two flag bearers. And it's the first time that the IOC has allowed two flag bearers, a man and a woman, for gender equality with these Olympic Games. So that's something to look for, too, seeing our own Eddie Alvarez carrying the flag in.
All right, and what's in store for us tomorrow?
Tomorrow, I know we have some beach volleyball, some indoor volleyball, from what I understand. I know my colleague Shara Park is covering that. And tomorrow for us, Sunday, is what you're talking for us here. Basketball gets underway. My other colleague that's here, Jeremiah Jensen, he's following a lot of Utah Jazz players, Rudy Gobert with France, Joe Ingles with Australia. So it's not just U.S. team for Jeremiah. He's also covering some of our international athletes as well.
Well, Alex, I understand we're going to be talking with you all next week as well, so we look forward to hearing about the games, and thanks so much for joining us.
Have a good one.
You too. And again, as Alex mentioned, you're going to be able to see the opening ceremonies on KSL Channel 5. That's starting in about 8 minutes. You've been listening to the 5 o'clock report. It's brought to you by Any Hour Services, Electrical, Plumbing, Heating, and Air, anyhourservices.com. KSL News Time, 5:23.
This is Derek Miller speaking on business. It's every patient's nightmare to have their child seriously injured or unexpectedly diagnosed with a life-threatening illness. In most cases, the Ronald McDonald House Charities of the Intermountain area can provide help and support. I'm joined by Carrie Romano, CEO of this remarkable nonprofit organization and longtime Salt Lake Chamber member.
At Ronald McDonald House Charities, we surround families of hospitalized children with compassionate, practical, and free lodging, food, transportation, and care. Together, our 72-room Ronald McDonald House on South Temple and our Ronald McDonald family rooms within Primary Children's Hospital, along with our hospitality carts in Shriners and Ogden Regional Medical Center, serve more than 10,000 families on average each year. Salt Lake City and Utah have become regional hubs for life-saving pediatric care. And we know family-centered care improves outcomes. With amazing community support and courage and agility from our team, we have continued to serve vulnerable patients and their families safely through COVID-19. We are so excited to be launching a new $12 million Leading with Love campaign to expand, enhance, and sustain our mission with three new Ronald McDonald Family Room programs in Salt Lake City and Lehi to serve even more families with hospitalized children.
We are grateful for the wonderful service Ronald McDonald House Charities provides in our community. You can visit their website to learn more. I'm Derek Miller with the Salt Lake Chamber, and this is Speaking on Business.
Hi, friends. Dan the Laptop Man here from PC Laptops. I get a lot of emails with feedback from customers. Here's one. Dear Dan, I just had the best experience ever. I bought a computer from Shane at your State Street store. I asked several what I thought were really stupid questions. Shane was super courteous and made me feel comfortable through the whole process. People need to understand how important it is to support a local company, especially when your experience is so good. PC Laptops really does love me. Signed, Satisfied. I love hearing feedback like that. It really just gives me the chills. It's the whole reason why I got into the computer business in the first place. You can get a brand new PC Laptops desktop for as low as $799, and it comes with a lifetime warranty. That means if anything goes wrong, we're going to take care of you. Just check us out at PCLaptops.com. That's PCLaptops.com. At PC Laptops, we really do love you.
KSL News Time 525. We are watching Utah's money. For the first time since the pandemic, Delta Airlines released a quarterly profits report. Delta pocketed more than $600 million in the second quarter, but the gains didn't translate to their shares. The airline stock ended the day down 1.5%. KSL Drives, General Motors, is stopping production of its full-size pickup trucks for a week starting Monday. The halt comes as the auto industry struggles to keep with the ongoing keep going with the computer chip shortage. Now, large pickup trucks and SUVs are GM's best-selling vehicles. If you are a master in cryptocurrency, Amazon wants you. The online retailer is looking to hire a digital currency and blockchain expert to its payment team, suggesting that Amazon may be taking a closer look at letting you use Bitcoin to purchase goods. A great way to end the week on Wall Street. The Dow up 238 points, ending the day at 35,061. S&P 500 gained 44, and the NASDAQ added 152 points. Investigators in New Orleans are looking into a possible arson at a mansion belonging to Beyonce and Jay-Z.
Records show Beyonce's management company bought the mansion in 2015 for $2.6 million. Originally, the building was a church and then a ballet school. Neighbors say few, if any, people have entered the mansion in years, although they say a gate was unlocked, allowing people to access the property. The city's fire department says the building has been vacant for some time.
That is ABC's Mona Kosar Abdi.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold. Don't miss Cold's new season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.